Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Friday, March 26th, 2021. Section A. Murray reviews new partnerships. New partnerships to create more choices for Ector County ISD families were among the items reviewed by Superintendent Scott Murray during his weekly media call. The ECISD Board of Trustees approved a new relationship with IDEA Public Schools, which is building a new facility at 7300 East Yukon. Tuesday night, Murray said, "We brought them in as a new charter that's a part of ECISD, and we will welcome approximately 1,500 pre-K through 12th grade students over the next several years to that school. And we're excited to announce IDEA Public Schools as a new partner in ECISD." The other partnerships are with the YMCA of Odessa and Third Future, a charter school network. The YMCA partnership will allow the district to bring three-year-old pre-K students into the learning environment next fall. The second agreement that we signed last night was with Third Future. Third Future will be our new partner to take over Ector Middle School. We're excited to welcome them again to the ECISD family, Murray said. On a separate topic, the board approved a resolution addressing federal stimulus money and approved the appointment of Tracy Borchardt as the new Executive Director of Athletics. As the public is aware, the federal government over the past several months has passed three separate stimulus packages in response to the pandemic, Murray said. In each of those stimulus packages, there was a bucket of money specifically focused on public education across the nation. From the first package, ECISD received almost $6 million. Murray said that provided ECISD with an opportunity to make some significant investments in technology. "We provided devices for all our students. We provided broadband in many of our homes. We've really done some good work with that amount of money," Murray said. In the second round of stimulus funding, there was approximately $25 million available to ECISD. And in round three, that amount of money is $75 million. Round two and round three, ECISD has not seen those dollars yet. Right now, those dollars are at the state level and they have yet to make their way to the local level. "We want to make sure that all of those dollars flow to the local school districts," Murray said. "Over the next 3 years," he added, "ECISD has to make significant investments in the academic lives of our children, as the pandemic has created some really significant learning gaps for our children," Murray said. "In order for us over the next 3 years to remediate those gaps, we need to make sure that we make some additional investments over and above learning opportunities that are currently provided for children. So those federal dollars are important for us." Examples of what the funding would be used for include extending the school year for another 30 days at the elementary level and high dosage tutoring. The board Tuesday approved a resolution directed toward the state legislature, who right now is in control of all of those dollars. "We want to make sure that our state legislators, both the House and the Senate, are aware that our local school districts are best served to utilize those dollars. School districts across the state of Texas are represented by elected school boards who know the needs of their students and their community better as they are closer to those families," Murray said. "We want to make sure that all of these dollars not only flow to ECISD, but flow to each district across the state of Texas." He encouraged the community not only to review the resolution, which is posted on the ECISD website, but to contact their local and state legislators to make sure they know how critically important it is that the district receive every penny of that money so we can invest that in the children and families in ECISD. Borchardt has been a part of the community for many years. Murray said she is a Permian High School graduate, but spent most of her teaching and coaching career at Odessa High School. So she knows our community north, south, east, and west. She's committed to the work that we do as a system, believes in the importance of athletics and extracurricular activities in the lives of our children, and will provide guidance and wisdom for years to come in ECISD, Murray said. OFR captain and family receive free HVAC unit by Royal McGregor. Odessa Fire Rescue Captain Tyler Henry knew he was going to receive a state-of-the-art HVAC unit as part of the Bryant True Heroes program. However, he didn't know it was going to arrive and be installed on his birthday. The 33-year-old Odessan has worked for OFR for the last 13 years, and he said he plans to remain a first responder in the community for the rest of his life. I've lived in Odessa my whole life, and this is my hometown, Henry said. I'm always going to be here serving Odessa. There are a lot of heroes here that deserve it as much as I do. Henry said that he was nominated by another firefighter to the Bryant True Heroes program. The Bryant website details the Bryant True Heroes program is a way that its dealers can make an impact by honoring local heroes with personalized awards, recognition, and charitable donations. Lair Wells, the marketing manager for Robert Madden Industries, said the company was approached by City Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning of Odessa in November 2020, wanting to help out the community. Robert Madden Industries submitted information to Bryant, one of the company's vendors, on behalf of Henry. Anytime that we as citizens are in a situation and need help, Henry is on that first line of defense, Wells said. We are overjoyed to be a part of it. Wells said that if Henry wanted to purchase and install a new HVAC unit at his home, that it would cost between $8,000 and $13,000. He also explained that a new HVAC unit should last from 10 to 15 years. Henry said he and his wife Amy and two children, Ella, 10, and Landon, 8, are grateful for the gifted HVAC unit. It's something that if we were going to buy it, that it would have been a big deal to us financially, Henry said. It takes a big burden off of us. Ira Steger, general manager of City Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, hopes that Henry is the first of many Odessa recipients for the Bryant True Heroes program. Steger said the company had been anticipating this install for a couple of months, and he said it's a little more special that Henry is also celebrating his birthday. It feels good to give back and show firefighters that they are appreciated, Steger said. This is our first time, but this is something that we are hoping to do every year. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 16,576 total cases, 349 deaths. ECISD daily cases, one student, no staff. Midland County, 16,852 total cases, 259 deaths. Texas, 2,766,259 total cases, 47,689 deaths. U.S. cases, 29,834,734 total confirmed and 542,584 deaths. Visit covidinthebasin.com or tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. ECISD COVID-19 dashboard, tinyurl.com/Y6NTP. Quick hit. Garage sale benefit. The Odessa Downtown Lions Club, 1101 Whitaker, has scheduled a garage sale benefiting leader dogs for the blind from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday. Visit tinyurl.com/5TUNUECE. Support More Badges raises thousands. The Support More Badges event held March 20th was a huge success. The Odessa Police Department raised about $6,000 at the Chick-fil-A on 42nd Street, and all three Chick-fil-A locations combined raised approximately $16,000. Support More Badges is part of and helps support the 8th annual Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot fundraiser set for April 15th and 16th at the Windwalker Farms Sporting Clays in Stanton. Bustin' for Badges benefits local law enforcement, Odessa Police Department, Midland Police Department, Ector County Sheriff's Office, and Midland County Sheriff's Office, and helps pay for much-needed equipment. Raffle tickets are available for sale for a Polaris Ranger 500, $9,500 value, a Bergara Premier 6.5 Creedmoor Series Rifle, $1,650 value, and a Primo Oval LG 300 Ceramic Charcoal Grill, $1,160 value. The raffle tickets are $20 each, or 6 tickets for $100. The raffle drawing will take place April 16th, and you do not need to be present to win. Raffle tickets can still be purchased through April 14th at bustinforbadges.org or by stopping by the OPD front desk. To register for Bustin for Badges or for more information, visit bustinforbadges.org or call 432-571-3462. MCHS Foundation introduces Guardian Angel Program. The Medical Center Health System Foundation is introducing the Guardian Angel Program to recognize physicians in the Permian Basin. The program will allow anyone to make a $50 donation to the MCHS Foundation in honor of a physician of their own choosing. How to recognize your Guardian Angel? Visit www.mchodessa.com/donate-now. Select $50 donation, select tribute gift, and name the physician you want to recognize. Choose Guardian Angel under designation. Leave comment describing why this physician is your Guardian Angel. The recognized physicians will receive a Guardian Angel lapel pin on Doctor's Day, March 30th, signifying them as a Guardian Angel. Local News Roundup. Mall-wide job fair. Music City Mall has scheduled a mall-wide job fair today and Saturday. Applications will be accepted from 1 to 5 p.m. Look out for green balloons at participating storefronts. Visit tinyurl.com/FREK6S4W. Revival. Open Door Church, 3102 East University, has scheduled Odessa Epicenter Revival with Keith Luker from 7 to 10 p.m. today. Visit tinyurl.com/N3KT7ETC. Bulk Item Drop-Off. The City of Odessa Code Enforcement, Solid Waste, and the Street Departments have scheduled a bulk item drop-off from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturday at Slater Park, 1001 West 38th. must reside in the city limits. Residential items only. No tree limbs. For more information, call 335-4680 or visit tinyurl.com/3ECWJ4T6. Legislative Update Goes Virtual by Federico Martinez. A suggestion by Texas Senator Kel Seliger that tighter gun purchasing restrictions would not have prevented mass shootings, such as the one in Colorado recently or in Odessa that left 7 people dead and another 25 injured in 2019, sparked criticism from some attending a virtual legislative update event Thursday. Seliger made his comments after being asked by an event moderator if he supported stricter background checks or gun laws. The event, which was aired via Zoom, was hosted by the Midland and Odessa Chamber of Commerce organizations. "I own a lot of guns. I just purchased a new one a couple of days ago," Seliger responded. "The fundamental question that needs to be asked is, what could any law that could have been passed, how could it have stopped the shootings in Colorado or in Odessa or from happening again without infringing on our Second Amendment rights?" Attendees posted their comments in the event's chat room. "Your answer to the gun violence question isn't sufficient," wrote workshop participant Erica Corsandi. "There has to be a solution to this very serious problem." "Reduce gun sales," another participant chimed in. Workshop participant Sharon Nash suggested better access to mental health treatment in West Texas as a possible solution. Before Seliger could respond, his workshop session was abruptly halted without further comments from him or the moderator. This year's legislative update event was held virtually for the first time due to COVID-19, organizers said. Morning sessions were interrupted several times because of technical glitches, but fixed quickly. Organizers even used the virtual chat room to assist attendees if they were experiencing technical problems on their end. The event featured several guest speakers and workshops that covered such topics as public education, public health and healthcare, the impact of COVID-19 on tourism and hospitality, transportation and housing, workforce development, and higher education. A question and answer session with Representative Brooks Landgraf and Tom Craddock proved to be popular with attendees. Craddock said his priorities include passing bills that will protect the oil and gas industry in West Texas, begin redistricting efforts once census numbers arrive, increase broadband availability throughout Texas, and continue to champion Second Amendment rights. Craddock and Landgraf said they both support state efforts to create an active shooter alert system, which would immediately notify residents if there is a live situation occurring. "Having something in place like that can save lives without infringing on Texas residents' rights," Landgraf said. He said also that he is committed to protecting the oil industry in Texas and agreed that the state needs to make broadband services more readily available in rural areas. "One grim reality of the pandemic is that we found our children out of school and into virtual learning," Landgraf said. "Many rural communities found it challenging to provide internet service to their students. More services, such as healthcare, are increasingly being offered through the internet, so our lives are increasingly dependent on it," Landgraf said. "Another priority is making sure that Texas never again suffers an energy shortage during a winter storm or other emergency. We need to make sure what happened in mid-February never happens again." Obituaries for Friday, March 26th. Lori Sue Goheen. San Angelo. Lori Sue Goheen passed away March 21st. She was born June 20th, 1961, in Williston, North Dakota, and spent her life in Odessa and San Angelo. Her parents were Leslie and Irene Goheen, who preceded her in death. Sue was a longtime bartender in Odessa. Sue is survived by her daughter, Courtney Goff, and husband, William, two grandchildren, her brother, Fred Watkins, and wife, Debbie, and many other family members. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, March 27th at Schaefer Funeral Home's Sherwood Way Chapel, under the direction of Schaefer Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at www.schaeferpioneer.com. Death notices. Virgil Quentin Johnson. Virgil Quentin Johnson, 92, of Odessa, died Thursday, March 18th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Moises Sandoval Ramos. Moises Sandoval Ramos, 67, of Odessa, died Tuesday, March 16th. A chapel service will be held at 1 p.m. Monday, March 29th at Odessa Funeral Home. Burial will follow at the Odessa 2 section of Ector County Cemetery with Terry Pugh officiating. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home. Manuel P. Manny Rodriguez. Manuel P. Manny Rodriguez, 63, of Odessa, died Wednesday, March 17th. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, March 27th at Martinez Funeral Home. Burial will take place at a later date in Balmoray with Father Bernardito Getagan officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Wallace Sparkman. Wallace Sparkman, 90, of Midland, died Wednesday, March 24th. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. March 30th at Gribble Springs Baptist Church in Denton County, Sanger, Texas, with Masonic graveside following at Gribble Springs Cemetery. Public viewing will be held from 1 to 5 p.m. Sunday, March 28th at Nallie Picklin Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Mary Alice Taylor. Mary Alice Tyler, 94, of Odessa, died Wednesday, March 17th. A graveside service will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, March 26th at the Rose Hill section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Macular Degeneration Supplement. Dear Dr. Roach, I am 75 years old with good vision. Recently, my optometrist noticed a few tiny spots that could signal the start of macular degeneration and urged me to start taking vitamins to possibly slow the onset. I started taking Bausch & Lomb's PreserVision supplement. It seems that the combination of ingredients in the product by themselves would be beneficial and are the only supplements or meds that I take. My question is about the success of that product. I believe a recent article indicated that it could slow development of macular degeneration but not prevent it. Do you have any opinions on the product or the need for this type of supplement? SW. Answer. People with diagnosed age-related macular degeneration and significant abnormalities in the retina should take the combination of vitamins and minerals proven to slow the onset and progression of AMD. The PreserVision is the only product that exactly replicates the combination used in the studies called AREDS and AREDS 2. that showed this benefit. It is indeed not a cure, but was beneficial, and along with smoking cessation, remains the only effective treatment for the dry form of AMD. I don't recommend taking the AREDS vitamin supplements to people who do not have diagnosed AMD. People with wet AMD require more aggressive therapy. Horoscope. Happy birthday for Friday, March 26th, 2021. Courageous, adventurous, and original, the path forward involves being true to yourself while respecting the beliefs of others. This year, you can retain your independence and still be respected as a team player. Be discriminating when letting people into your inner circle. If single, be patient, and the right fit will come along soon enough. If attached, let go of negative feelings, and your love will endure. Gemini makes you laugh. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. You will have a dynamic day. Fresh air and exercise will serve you well today. Start a sensible and healthy eating plan. Prepare fresh salads and a fruit platter to munch on. You will feel lighter and more energetic. Tonight, enjoy dinner with close friends. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. An average day. Speak your mind, but be sensitive to the opinions of others. Tact will go a long way. Follow through on a promise you made to someone you love. They will be touched that you remembered. Tonight, story time with kids. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. A positive day. Make your home warm and cozy. Get a house plant that is easy to care for. Be positive and patient when talking to parents and in-laws. This is not the time to bring up past frustrations. Tonight, be creative with leftovers. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. An average day. Strong opinions could get you in trouble. Play it safe and let a colleague have the last word. Siblings may have news to share. Get in touch even if it has been a while. Tonight, snack, but not too much. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. An average day. Paying bills could alter a harmonious mood. Find a money-making project that could evolve into a profitable business. Be generous with those you love, but stay within your budget. Plan an entertaining evening on a shoestring budget. Tonight, update your calendar. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. A dynamic day. Get a makeover that includes a dramatic haircut. You may be surprised at compliments that come your way. Be prepared to present your ideas at a meeting. Review answers to challenging questions, and you'll do just fine. Tonight, ice cream. Libra, a positive day. September 23rd through October 22nd. Working at home looks more and more tempting. Do it if you can. Find a quiet place, free from distractions. Your family will appreciate you being around. Finish your day's work before giving them your full attention. Tonight, talk things over. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st. An average day. People you know may be surprised at your strong public speaking skills. Think about taking a leadership role in an organization where you volunteer. Your ability to lead will emerge when faced with a meaningful cause. Tonight, take time alone. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. A positive day. Wrap up unexpected problems, even if it means working overtime. A promotion or bonus may be in the offing. Plan the right moment to bring it up. Show your loved ones how much they mean to you. Tonight, unwind and relax. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. A positive day. Continue to upgrade your professional skills, including learning new technology. Use this opportunity to gain more confidence in your abilities. The time may come when you seek out a new position and go on interviews. Tonight, attend a new meeting. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. A positive day. Review the fine print of a contract or document. Take your time, even if someone pressures you to sign right away. A joint financial agreement, arrangement, will start to bear fruit. Trust in its growth potential. Tonight, make a journal entry. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, an average day. Someone close may ask you to mediate a dispute. Be open-minded and diplomatic. You do not want to upset those you love. Make this a teachable moment. Remind everyone to talk things through and open their hearts. Tonight, early to bed. Judge led massive effort during storm. Volunteers honored by Pfluger and Landgraf for good deeds. The February storm that left millions of Texans without power or water with record-breaking low temperatures did have some good things come out of it. A sense of community and an outpouring of good deeds here in Odessa was celebrated Wednesday night as 446th District Judge Sarah Kate Billingsley threw a party to honor the volunteers she gathered in the midst of that storm to care for those who were hungry and hurting. Billingsley asked on Facebook that fateful week of February 15th if anyone who was without power needed help with food. What she got back from that quick question was quite a bit, not just from those who had lost power and needed help with food, but also from those ready to roll up their sleeves and cook for fellow Odessans. I've always believed it takes a village to do a lot of things, raise a child, aid your community, Billingsley told the crowd as she was perched atop a pink cooler in her home. I found my village. She said her mother, former Odessa City Councilwoman Peggy Dean, taught her important lessons. To those who much is given, much is expected, Billingsley said. She praised both individuals and companies who reached out and cooked and delivered food. She compared the outpouring of support to the story of Jesus and the basket of fish. It was crazy. I needed food, and it just kept showing up. It was just like the fish basket. And that's thanks to all of you. She defected credit for her part and instead praised all the volunteers like 10-year-old twins Hunter and Wyatt Smith, who both showed up in big ways during the snow crisis. They rolled so many meatballs, Billingsley said. They are my favorite twins. The boys are the grandsons of Ector County Commissioner Michael Gardner. The meatball event, she said, included a couple dozen volunteers who rolled more than 1,000 meatballs to make meatball subs that were then delivered to hungry Odessans. The boys were excited to receive certificates of appreciation from U.S. Congressman August Pfluger, Republican Texas, for their efforts. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, is also sending certificates to those who aided Billingsley in her volunteer effort, which she likens to a beehive. Everyone just came together, she said, while relating how bees are not supposed to be able to fly due to their body shapes. But no one told the bees, and they fly. She said some told her that the weather was too bad and that it seemed like an impossible task, but no one told the volunteers who showed up and got it done. Pfluger attended the event and thanked the volunteers with the certificates and told the crowd, how proud he was of the can-do spirit displayed during such a crisis. Delivery of education changing. Disruptions have sparked innovation. The frigid weather Texas is slowly thawing out from, another in a line of disruptions that colleges and universities have had to adapt to this past year. Commissioner of Higher Education for the state of Texas, Harrison Keller, said in a phone interview that COVID-19 has changed and is changing the delivery of education, but also the state economy, which higher education has to adapt to as well. With the power outages that came with the snow and ice this past week, universities not only lost some class time, but may also have lost research. Keller said he hasn't gotten reports of that yet, but when these events occur, it's not just the power going out and people losing what's in their refrigerators. It could also be years of research, because some of it may take place in climate-controlled conditions. As for learning loss, higher education isn't experiencing it as acutely as kindergarten through 12th grade. At this point, I think on that front, the colleges and universities are pretty adaptable, where if you lose a week of classes, they can make adjustments in their schedules and in their syllabi and figure out how to make up a few days here or there, Keller said. So on that front, I think higher ed tends to be more nimble than the public side, especially given what everyone's experienced this past year. We just yesterday, Thursday, sent out some guidelines. There are rules around how many hours of instruction you have to have for a fundable course. We can provide some flexibility around that. So if we're talking about a week of disruption, it doesn't count against them. If you had something that was a longer disruption, like a month, then that's more challenging. So then they have to figure out, do they have to convert to remote instruction? Do you send students home? Depending on the situation and the extent of the damage, you might have to make larger accommodations. But again, the reports that I've heard have been more about temporary disruptions, where it's a few days. Keller said there is a project review going on, and one of the four pillars that they are looking at is research. What's the role of the research mission in expanding and driving regional and state economic development, especially as the economy moves quickly in the direction of higher skilled jobs and more of a knowledge-based economy? The universities become more and more important to these communities, he added. Earlier this month, the Blackstone Charitable Foundation announced the expansion of its Blackstone Launchpad student entrepreneurship programming from 2 to 8 campuses in the University of Texas system, including UTPB, helping bring the initiative's network resources to a more diverse set of students. The $5 million expansion is designed to give more students critical access to resources, opportunities, and mentorship. Other universities in the system that will be given access includes University of Texas El Paso, UT Rio Grande Valley, UT San Antonio, UT Medical Branch, and UT Southwestern. I'm a big fan of integrating work on entrepreneurship into the curriculum and expanding opportunities for students. So that kind of thing is, I think, pretty exciting for UTPB and for the community, Keller said. You have a different kind of educational experience when your institution is encouraging and supporting your startup, and when you get coaching and support to turn your discovery into something that can help impact people's lives, he added. But what if you're not business-minded or you're bad at math? I think that's something we probably need to rethink, just the way that we think about the way we teach math and the way we encourage people around math, Keller said. I think we're probably too quick to be able to say, well, I'm just bad at math. We don't say I'm bad at reading. I think that there's some really exciting, interesting work that's going on nationally, but also that Texas math educators, leaders, to rethink the math curriculum and think about how to make the math curriculum more relevant and more directly connected to the kinds of problems that people need to navigate in different kinds of jobs. So less of a forced march to college algebra and more emphasis on like the analytics and statistics, that kind of thing. One silver lining of the disruption everyone has experienced this past year is it's accelerating the pace of innovation of how education is delivered in colleges and universities. There are some really interesting things that folks are doing with their calendars and with their curriculum. Of course, rethinking how we use physical space, how we use technology. So it feels to me like we're at the front edge of this fundamental transformation in what higher education looks like, Keller said. Generally speaking, enrollments at colleges and universities have declined this past year. Odessa College and UTPB have bucked that trend. Keller said he thinks the numbers will come back across the board. That's going to be really, really important for us to support enrollments bouncing back on a couple of fronts. One is that we know if students stop out or drop out, then they're less likely to finish. And the longer they stay stopped out or dropped out, the less likely they are to finish. So it's really concerning to see so many low-income students, first-generation students, and especially we see disproportionately high numbers of Black students and Hispanic students who have stopped out. It's going to be important for us to, not just for the short term, but for the long term, we're going to need to engage and enroll and re-enroll students, Keller said. COVID is another factor as it is accelerating change in the broader economy. A lot of the jobs that people have lost aren't coming back, or they're not coming back quickly, or they're coming back but they look pretty different. And so we've got a lot of new jobs being created. Tens of thousands of new jobs are being created across the state. And then we have a lot of displaced workers who are unemployed. But there's a growing distance between the kinds of skills and credentials that displaced workers have and the kinds of skills that you need for the jobs. So it's going to be really important for us to expand our ability to help people reskill and upskill so they can get back on their feet, get back in the economy, help take care of their families, and help drive the recovery of the state economy. But also for the longer term, to help make sure that we're going to be competitive, because these changes were already underway in the economy, but they got accelerated pretty dramatically, especially around how people use technology, Keller said. Start with trust. Gift card scams by Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. www.bbb.org 563-1880. Since their debut in the mid-90s, gift cards have exploded into a multi-billion dollar industry. They offer convenience and ease for gift givers and receivers alike. No more questioning if a gift is the right size or worrying if returning an unwanted gift is offensive. However, as always, where consumer trends go, scams will follow. A recent in-depth BBB study finds reports of scams involving gift cards have increased dramatically in the last few years, generating hundreds of millions of dollars in losses. In 2020, Texans alone reported nearly 100 gift card-related scams, which cost them more than $126,000. So, how do scammers use gift cards? They could be a part of any type of fraud where payment is requested. The scammer will typically instruct their target to purchase gift cards and send them photos of the number on the back. If you question why they are requesting this specific form of payment, they give you a convincing answer. For example, they might tell you that the company or organization has recently entered a contract with the gift card company. Gift cards are an appealing form of payment to scammers because they do not offer the same kinds of protections as a credit card, and they cannot be easily traced. If a suspicious caller is asking you to pay them via gift card, remember these tips from your Better Business Bureau to avoid getting scammed. Know the red flags. Remember, a government agency will never call and demand payment or ask you to send money through gift cards. You should also be wary of anyone who tries to convince you gift cards are a safe form of payment. Like cash, they are unrecoverable 1 cent. Keep your receipt. Keep proof of your purchase, including the receipt and the card itself. If problems arise, this can help you prove the card was paid for. Report it. If you've been scammed, submit a report to BBB Scam Tracker or the Federal Trade Commission, FTC. To read the full report, visit us at bbb.org. UTPB Student on Path to Being Debt-Free by Ruth Campbell. When Samantha Serrano graduates from University of Texas Permian Basin in spring 2022, she will not only have a marketing degree, she'll be debt-free. The Permian High School graduate said she made getting a bachelor's degree a top priority. "I've been able to pay for school, and I have not taken out any loans, so I've been able to finance my lifestyle to where UTPB is not a burden," Serrano said. She said she was able to save money by attending Odessa College for 2 years on scholarship, living at home, and working as a secretary at the Dobbs Law Firm. When she enrolled at UTPB last summer, she saw how much her first semester was going to be and put aside funds based on that. "I'm a transfer student, so my first 2 years were at Odessa College. I was on scholarship there, so I actually didn't pay for school my first 2 years. That helped me a lot to be at the community college and take advantage of that to where I could save during that time period for whenever I transferred to UTPB," Serrano said. According to bestcolleges.com, the average student leaves school owing more than $28,000. Scott Lipinski, Director of Financial Aid and Scholarships at UTPB, said graduating debt-free is unusual, but it can be done. "A student who completes a distinguished high school diploma in high school," there's multiple ways a student can get it, but say a student completes their distinguished high school diploma and then they're awarded the Texas grant for the college they plan on going to, that grant can cover a student's tuition and fees. It's required by state law to cover their tuition and fees. A student who gets awarded that, more than likely, is going to graduate debt-free than a student who doesn't, Lipinski said. He added that since he started at UTPB last June, he has changed student aid to increase the chances of students graduating debt-free or with minimal debt. If a student has an EFC, expected family contribution, of $6,000 or below, and they've completed the distinguished high school diploma, they could potentially receive about $18,000 in state, federal, and institutional grant funding, Lipinski said. It costs an estimated $9,172 for in-state tuition for 15 credit hours. For most degrees, it takes 120 credits to graduate. "It's good when students are able to graduate debt-free. We have the Falcon Promise where if families make less than $60,000, we make sure that their tuition and fees are covered between all grants and scholarships, so those students are also able to potentially graduate debt-free, Lipinski said. We have a couple different programs that can assist students to graduate debt-free or with minimal debt. Like radio host Dave Ramsey, who often dispenses financial advice, Serrano will be able to shout, "I'm debt-free." That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to scream, "I'm debt-free," as soon as I get my diploma, Serrano said. Asked what advice she would give to others who want to try leaving loans behind, Serrano said she would find out what they were willing to sacrifice. Are they willing to manage their lifestyle and their finances to fit an education? And how much of a priority is it to advance their education? Serrano said. It's a choice, and it's a choice I made. It's not for everyone. Others are in different circumstances. I've had a classmate say, "This is what I can afford this semester, so I'm only taking two classes." I think it's understanding where your mindset is and how much you want that, and if you're willing to commit to graduating debt-free. She added that she has had friends from high school who were willing to take out loans. That just wasn't my personality. I'm more of a I-need-to-know person who is cautious about their finances, she said. This is one of the main reasons I chose to stay at UTPB, and it's really paid off for me. She has a deal with her parents where she lives at home and doesn't have to worry about things like groceries. A bonus is a hug from her mom when she's stressed out. She has two younger siblings and an older sister in college in San Antonio. It was definitely a give and take. My parents said, "Well, since you're going to pay for college, you don't have to worry about any living expenses." So that was kind of the trade-off in our situation. I was very blessed in that not every student has that, Serrano said. She isn't sure yet what she will pursue with her marketing degree. As of right now, I'm planning on staying at the Dobbs Law Firm. I've really enjoyed what I've learned, and I'm going to stay there for a bit. There's not a set plan for after graduation other than staying here and working there. I'm not sure other than that, but I'm very happy at the Dobbs Law Firm, so it's been a great opportunity to work for them and get my degree, she said. She added that law is something she'd consider, but her main focus is to get through school, get her degree, and see where she lands after that. Knowing she'll graduate with no debt is satisfying and liberating. She added that the financial aid staff at the university has been very helpful. It's definitely something I'm seeing other classmates and friends go through that I'm very grateful I'm not having to experience at the moment, Serrano said. She added that she has enjoyed her experience at UTPB. Last semester, I wasn't able to be on campus, so this semester is a whole different experience that I've really enjoyed. I think the fact that UTPB is allowing us to be on campus is a major benefit to all students who took advantage of it. I know during this time of the pandemic, some are very hesitant, but I'm very thankful UTPB has allowed us to come in and taken all the precautions to allow us to be on campus and to engage with our professors and peers, Serrano said.
Guest views. Coal Helps Keep the Lights On by Kenneth Rapoza. In Texas, the wind turbines are frozen, natural gas supplies are low, and multiple power plants are offline due to recent snow and ice storms. Around 25% of homes in Texas did not have power as the polar vortex slammed into the Lone Star State earlier this week, and that threatened to soar even higher. The only reason Texas wasn't completely dark? Coal. On Monday, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT, the governing body that oversees the main power grid in Texas, told utility companies to start California-style rolling outages as demand has far outstripped capacity. ERCOT is its own grid. It is separate from the rest of the national grid in the country. ERCOT is powered by natural gas, 35%, and in second place, believe it or not, is wind, 25%. Coal is close behind at 22%. Solar is less than 5%. The good news for Texas is a sliver, around 10%, of it is also powered by the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, MISO. It oversees power transmission in 15 states. At least 50% of its electricity comes from coal. Some 7% comes from wind turbines. Solar is basically non-existent in the MISO zone. A lot of politicians and activists hate coal. But as a current baseload, if we shut it down, a lot more people would be freezing for much longer than just an hour a day in Texas. ERCOT has been bracing for the worst once they saw the snow and ice coming their way. For days, they warned consumers that the Arctic blast could set a new all-time winter peak demand record. They were right. The previous winter peak demand record of 65,915 megawatts was set on January 17, 2018. It was broken on Valentine's Day evening, right around dinner time, reaching 69,150 megawatts. Texas has gone through this before, but it's done little to remedy the situation. It's increased wind power over the period, but in out-of-this-world winter weather, frozen turbines are useless. None of this is to suggest that coal shouldn't eventually be replaced by something else. But at a moment when the White House is cutting Keystone expansions and new oil and gas drilling leases on federal land, alternative sources of energy are losing their baseload support. When push comes to shove, coal is proving to be more reliable than natural gas. That this is true in Texas, of all places, should serve as a reminder that without a baseload, California-style blackouts will hit other states too, especially those that are reducing investments in oil and gas. The electricity demand due to cold weather was so serious, MISO, MISO, posted several alerts to warn utilities from Louisiana on up that sub-zero temperatures could lead to fuel restrictions during peak demand. Clearly, coal would not be enough to handle the grid if natural gas or other alternative sources were offline. For the foreseeable future, the best plan is an all-of-the-above fuel mix. Coal, natural gas, and nuclear power will still be needed to help with the heavy lifting when demand is high, the sun's not out, and the windmills are frozen. Kenneth Raposa is a veteran reporter and a former staff journalist for Dow Jones and The Wall Street Journal. He wrote this for InsideSources.com.
Playful name-calling isn't fun anymore for boyfriend. Dear Abby, my girlfriend and I call each other horrible, disparaging names as a form of love. Recently, I asked her to stop calling me names like that because it was fun at first, but now not so much. For me, it was just too negative. I love her and I want to show it by my actions. I want us to be positive, be a positive couple. I now call her BB. Well, she got mad and accused me of not letting her be herself. Am I wrong for asking her not to call me ugly gender-based names? I know she loves me, and I just want her to tone down the name-calling. Is that too much to ask? No, dumb A in California. Dear no DA, no, it is not too much to ask. Jokes can get old and stale, and the name-calling stopped being cute or fun for you for a while ago. People who love each other are sensitive to the other person's feelings and don't do what your girlfriend is doing. If she persists, it may be time to step back and reevaluate this relationship because her just being herself will become a turnoff. Dear Abby, my husband of 34 years has really bad table manners. He smacks when he chews, makes gulping noises when he drinks liquids, and stuffs huge amounts of food in his mouth. He once swallowed a whole hard-boiled egg all at once and almost choked. It's gross. I love him, but his lack of manners is embarrassing, especially when we're invited out or are over at a friend's house. What can I do? Signed, Rolling My Eyes in Tennessee. Dear Rolling, have you talked to him about this? If you have, sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. Hand him a mirror or record a video of him eating so he can see for himself how unappealing he looks when he does this. If that doesn't persuade him to slow down and take smaller bites, consider putting less food on his plate before serving it. I can't guarantee this will work, but it's worth a try. P.S. A whole egg? Ouch! Dear Abby, after recently having gone through a divorce, my brother has now decided to start a family. He claims he loves her, but I'm afraid she's taking advantage of him. They are both in their mid-30s and blinded by lust. They plan on marrying maybe a year from now. I don't know what to think. On the one hand, I'm happy he has moved on and found a new life. On the other hand, I'm afraid for him, knowing he's vulnerable. How do I cope? Signed, Bewildered Sis in Vermont. Dear Sis, your brother is talking about getting married a year from now. Unless he's putting the cart before the horse by starting a family before the wedding, he seems to be handling things quite well and not rushing into a commitment he can't get out of. Calm yourself. Let this play out and get to know his girlfriend. If you do, you might find you like her.
Should I risk taking the shingles shot to your good health for Wednesday? Dear Dr. Roach, I have some severe allergies to medicines and an allergy to eggs. Should I risk taking the shingles shot? Dr. Roach writes, the flu vaccine is usually made with egg-based culture, but since it is so highly purified, it is still safe for people with egg allergies. The shingles, pneumonia, and available COVID-19 vaccines do not use eggs and are safe. I'm not sure what you mean by severe allergies. The vast majority of people with drug allergies will be able to take all the available vaccines without problem. It is certainly appropriate to discuss any vaccine with your doctor. The COVID-19 vaccines, in particular, have had some episodes of allergic reactions in people with a history of anaphylaxis, and extra caution is warranted. The shingles vaccine series of two shots is a highly effective treatment to prevent getting shingles. Readers may write Dr. Keith Roach at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.